shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Welcome to the Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney on RSN 927.
Yes, welcome to the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927. Scott Cooney with you, and great to have you with us. We'll get to our very own Dash and Darren Parkin very, very shortly. Also, Wally Masur a bit later on in the podcast on the Breed Club with Half Whitey and all the crew this morning on RSN 927. But Dash, to recap, a big day three and huge day four ahead at Melbourne Park. And we're here thanks to Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorn East, open every day during the Australian Open from 6:30 to 3 p.m. Grab a latte and the baked eggs. You're ready to go for a big day and night at the tennis. Dan and Joe will look after you too. Of course, the Middle Hotel in Currumburra as well. Matthew Lloyd, the Essendon legend, was there on the weekend for a Sunday sesh. What a great place to chill and relax, watch the tennis as well every day and night. And, of course, lunch from midday, all day. Open from 9 a.m. till 1 a.m. every day there as well. Fish, Elise, and all the crew will look after you there. And Bang Bang, Phillip Island as well, located in the heart of Phillip Island. Kate Willemeyer there on the Bass Coast in Victoria. And I tell you what a wide selection of beer they have and mouthwatering dishes as well. So what better place to go down there on Phillip Island in the breezy coastal bar there. Bang Bang Bar and Food. And, of course, we'll see Paddy Ebony and all the crew look after you there. But let's get to Dash.
We are exactly where we are. I felt like we've had a really good preparation in Adelaide. We played well. We're able to get through some really tough matches. And Tyres is the master. He's the absolute best in the business. I'm very spoilt to have him in my team and very grateful that he's got the tactical knowledge. He's got the communication. And I think the way that we talk to each other is incredible. He's going to love he's on the big screen right now. But honestly, I feel like our whole team works extremely well together. We're enjoying our tennis and being able to produce some pretty good stuff.
Ash Barty there, thanks to Channel 9 as the Barty Party continues. And once again, we're joined by the one and only Dash and Darren Parkin here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. As we've said quite a bit, and good morning to you, Dash. Ash, arguably in the form of her life at the moment, particularly on hard courts.
Yeah, she is. I guess we can't help but look towards a potential fourth round meeting with Naomi Osaka, who's won 18 of her last 19 matches at the Australian Open. Obviously, two titles out of the last three that she's competed here. And she got past American Madison Brengel, who can be an awkward customer. Brengel won a match the other day, hitting one winner for the entire day. So she can throw off a lot of different things. But Osaka got through that pretty well. And Barty, love and won the other day, and then getting through 1-1 yesterday. So she's only the third... I think number one, it's the third fewest, I'll rephrase that. It's the equal fewest games dropped by the number one seed at the Australian Open ever. The other two that did it were Steffi Graf in 1989 and Martina Hingis in 2001. So hopefully I've ended up getting that stat out. Steffi Graf, Martina Hingis and Ash Barty all dropping three games in their first two rounds. As number ones at the Australian Open.
Yeah, I was just blown away the other week too, Dash, when we spoke after a win over Swiatek. I know, obviously, Swiatek best on the dirt, but was playing so well there in Adelaide, and she just went whooshka, Ash Barty, then, and it didn't look like she'd had 4 months off, that's for sure, and she's continued on with that, and she's definitely the one to beat there at Melbourne Park on the women's side of things for, of course, first Australian Open, hopefully, 325 favourite at tab.com.au, someone who might have something to say about that, and awaits her, probably, they're seated to meet in the fourth round, is Naomi Osaka. She's the 650 second elect, and she got through easily as well, as you said, against Brengel of the States.
Yeah, she was up 6-love, 1-love, and then Brengel actually lifted and won three of the next... I think she won three games in a row and four of the next six to actually go up a break at 4-3 in the second set. But Osaka steady, broke back, and then obviously closed it out 6-love, 6-4 in the end. So Naomi, you know, seems to be feeling pretty comfortable. I've been to her last couple of press conferences. She seems in a pretty good headspace. We know she took that break for periods last year, certainly between the French Open and the US Open. And obviously she had the Olympics thrown in there as well, which sort of put a bit of pressure on her too. So, but she looks in a really good headspace. But so do a lot of the other big-name players. Maria Sakkari was very good yesterday after a bit of a scare in the first round. Barbara Krejcikova, who's had a great 18 months. She's probably had a great 5 years as a doubles player, but a great 18 months as a singles player. She won very easily. Elena Ostapenko won a battle with Alison Risk, and probably the others, Paula Badosa, who looks in terrific form. Madison Keys has continued on her run from Sydney. Camilla Giorgi won. She'll play Barty next. Azarenka was pretty good. Spitalina got through after Harmony Tan was forced to exit the court in a wheelchair after a pretty nasty little injury. But Spitalina was up 5-1 in the third at the time of that injury, so was headed for victory. But that's obviously a shame for Harmony to have her tournament end like that.
Absolutely, Dash. And yeah, as you said, a lot of the big names progressing through. And saw Quang Wang as well back up an upset win over Coco Gauff with a three-set win over Van Antfunk. But yeah, the popcorn match we spoke about yesterday. And unfortunately, I couldn't quite get Risk up there against Ostapenko. But Anna Samova at those 240 odds at tab.com.au was too good for Bench. It's 6-2, 7-5. And as we said, was the popcorn match of the day. But Anna Samova, yeah, obviously, as you said yesterday, a semi-finalist a couple of years ago there at the French, and playing very well.
Yeah, she is, and she'll play Osaka next, so that is an interesting matchup before, obviously, that potential fourth-rounder against Barty. Barty will play Camilla Giorgi before that, but yeah, Anna Samova dominated the first set, and then the second set was a bit more of an arm wrestle. Bentic just made a few too many errors on her own serve, and Anna Samova back to that type of form. She showed it here at the Australian Open a few years ago. It sort of put her on the map, and then she obviously backed that up with a run to the semis at the French, where she nearly beat Ash Barty in that semi. I think it was 6-4 in the third or something like that that Barty got her, and she's starting to sort of roll her way through. I think she's is she the one that's going out with Paul Couch's son?
Danielle Collins, I think, there.
Danielle Collins, it must be, I think it's Paul Ruse's son.
So that's, I think you're right, yep.
I always get those two around the wrong way.
No worries, it's incredible, the amount of, it turns into a bit of a entertainment show, doesn't it, with the couples in the tennis sometimes, mate. But also, of course, we'll look ahead to day four very shortly, our very own Dash and Darren Parkin here on RSN 927 on the tennis podcast with myself, Scott Cooney, and a few Aussies in action today, which we'll get to shortly too. But of course, the Barty party, the Aussie yesterday, the only Aussie in action was our very own world number one in Ash. But there was a couple of blokes on the men's side of things, Aussie blokes in action, Dash, and unfortunately both losing as we expected. As Rev, far too strong for Big John Millman, 6-4, 6-4, 6-love, and Elbo as well, too good for our very own Vukic, 6-4, 7-6, 6-4, which gave me bragging rights over the Hornet, actually. Matty Nevitt, the CEO at RSN at the moment, there, Dash. He, of course, he's running everything, and the Hornet and I went head-to-head yesterday, and I got the chocolates with Elbo winning, although I did want Vukic to win.
Yeah, he had his chances in every set. Vukic, he was broken, very similar to the other day where he was broken in the very first game. That happened again against Elbot. He was down 1-love, having dropped his serve immediately. He then had breakpoint chances most of the way through the first set and couldn't get there, lost at 6-4. Second set was a back and forth. He actually had breakpoints late in the set. He did Vukic, but couldn't capitalise. It went to a tie break, and he dropped that one. And then in the third set, he was broken, broke back, and got on serve, and then was broken in the very last game. So he was very close, and a lot of it was played off his racket, you know, high volume of winners and errors, but just couldn't quite land breaks when he had opportunities to do so, kind of similar to Popper the other day. But good progress for Vukic, but he had a chance, certainly, and John Millman, the scoreline looks pretty ugly, 6-4, 6-4, 6-love, and certainly the last set was, but he was pretty good before that. That match had three breaks of serve in a row to start, Zverev getting two of those and Millman one, and again, no one could sort of capitalise from that point on, and Zverev held his advantage. In the second set, Zverev broke straight away, again, first game of the set, but Millman had, I think, four break point opportunities to actually get it back on serve, and just couldn't quite do it. Zverev would fire in, you know, aces and big first serves and hold him at bay. And then after a pretty competitive two sets, Zverev swept him in the third, unfortunately. So we probably anticipated that result. But if you take the first two sets in isolation, Millman wasn't actually all that far away.
Now, of course, Dash, we saw the likes of Nadal through against Hanfman in straight. The Cox conqueror was Hanfman there. Also a surprise there with Hercas getting smashed by Manorino in straight sets as well. Kreno Busta, Korda, Shapovalov and Christian Garin all surviving five setters. Alcaraz defeating Lajovic 6-2, 6-1, 7-5. To continue his very ominous form, and also Khachanov, Berrettini, Karatsev also through dash. But Monfils, mate, we spoke about him a bit last week. He is absolutely on fire and dismantled Bublik 6-1, 6-love, 6-4. Look at the top of the market there for the men's at tab.com.au in just a moment. But do you reckon Gay's a bit of a smoky at the 51s?
Yeah, potentially. He obviously won Adelaide a couple of weeks ago, beat Kokkinakis in a semi, and then obviously went through the final pretty comfortably. But you look at his, you know, historically, I think he's made at least the quarters of Grand Slams on 10 occasions, three Grand Slam semis. So he's been one of those guys that for a decade or so has been just that next level below. He would generally go pretty deep in a slam and then one of the big three. So Djokovic, Federer, Nadal would get him somewhere along the way there. Obviously now Djokovic isn't there, Federer's not there, Nadal is obviously there, but Monfils is on the side of the draw where Djokovic would have been. He was in that quarter. So obviously not having Novak there does open things up for him a little bit more. He's serving unbelievably well. You know, he's moving as well as he has for a while. He'd probably be 36 years of age or thereabouts. But, yeah, he's looking in really good shape. And I reckon he'd be a popular winner if he was able to somehow pull it off. And it would be a great story for the Australian Open if someone like Gail could do that. Obviously, there's some really hard players that he's going to have to get through along the way, such as Nadal and Medvedev and Zverev and even guys like Berrettini and players like that. But, he'd be a nice story, and you'd have to say there'd be some chance.
Yeah, well, as we said too recently, ever since he got married to Svitolina, it's just really given him a new lease of life, really. And he was really struggling there middle of last year, and we know how much talent he's got. And a real showman.
Why that might give someone a boost.
But also Dash, of course, as we mentioned, the two Aussies today, or yesterday rather, both losing, but the one Aussie girl in our very own Barty winning. We'll get to the Aussies today in action. I think five there, and of course the popcorn match as well, so to speak, between Medvedev and Kyrgios. But just at the men's market there, Medvedev 250, Zverev 450, Nadal at $5. Do you think that's about right? I reckon Zverev and Medvedev should be a bit closer. I can't really split them, to be honest, so I reckon I'll be taking Zverev at the 450. But do you think it's there's a couple that we can look at value, but they're well and truly the three to beat?
Yeah, I'd say so. Zverev, you know, he's looking in pretty good touch. You know, there'd been knocks on him, you know, the consistency of his serve perhaps in the past by comparison to some of the big names that he would be competing against, but he looks to have found a pretty good rhythm in that space. So, he'd have to be up there. Nadal hasn't done a thing wrong since arriving in Australia. Looks really sharp. Medvedev, danger game for him against Kyrgios. I think every time you play Nick, it is a tricky game. He's got a lot of talent. He throws a lot of things up that are, you know, a bit different. Assuming he'll find a way through that match, I think he's going to be obviously pretty hard to stop. So they're the three, but yeah, I'm going for Zverev only on that value. I think they're pretty close, and just leaning his way on that, even if Medvedev is a justifiable favourite.
So Dash today there at Melbourne Park, Dash and Darren Parkin here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. Couple more before there you go. Really appreciate your time and being so generous with it as always. Of course, as we know, the big stories from the day, we get to see Sammy Stosur and Matty Inglis in action again. Looking forward to that. And on top of that, Chris O'Connell, the Demon, and Nicky.
Yeah, that's right. So we look at, I also wanted to mention from yesterday, so Kyrgios and Kokkinakis played doubles together. And
one.
So that's one to keep an eye on. That'll be a bit of good fun. But looking at, what we have today. So O'Connell play Schwartzman. I'd be curious to get your thoughts on that. I mean, Schwartzman's a good player, but he feels gettable. I think it was a couple of years ago he got absolutely brained by Popperin or something at the Australia. One of the Aussies smoked him, I think. I can't remember who it was, but I might have to try to dig that up. But Schwartzman, you know, he's a very good player and have been consistently sort of top 10 or top 15. But, you know, O'Connell on his day might be able to get a look at that. You see Alex de Minaur against Marzak, I think, who's from Poland, ranked about 107 in the world. You'd think Demonor hopefully would be able to find a way through that. He got the protection of a seeding at this tournament on the back of that win against Umber in the ATP Cup. Sam Stosur, she'll play good friends, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. They've played a lot of doubles together. They've played singles against each other probably 8 or 9 times over the course of their career. And we know that each time Sam takes the court, it could be the last as a singles player. She's announced her retirement from the singles format at the end of this tournament. And that is a tough match. So you'd think that there's every chance, unfortunately, that the curtain does come down today. But it wouldn't be, you know, the worst matchup for her for it to end, but fingers crossed she can go at least one more. And Madison Inglis against Taylor Baptiste, the 20-year-old from the United States. So winnable for Maddie. Hopefully she can back it up. She was very, very good the other day against Leila Fernandez. Served superbly, held serve in every game, broke 3 or 4 times. So hopefully she can back that up. And then, as we said, Nick against Daniil Medvedev, which is a very, very tough task, probably the toughest task in the draw, but I'm sure Nick, one thing about him is that he won't be daunted by it, that's for sure.
Can he win?
Not impossible. I think if they played 10 times, he'd win 1 or 2 of them. You just have to hope it's one of those days. But you'd think he'd be a chance. But obviously he's had COVID. He hasn't played a match all year leading into this tournament. So not the ideal prep. But he has enough pure talent to beat anybody. You know, he's beaten, I think, Djokovic, Federer and Nadal a combined 7 times in his career. So that obviously says, you know, shows how talented he actually is. I think the preparation will certainly count against him, but yeah, you never totally write him off.
Yeah, Quinny and the Hornet were pretty bullish yesterday about the 550 at tab.com.au on RSN Central. I can't see it, but I think, yes, you could definitely entertain the overs, maybe the total game over-under.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the chances of him taking a set would be reasonably high, you would think. Or certainly some tie breaks would be in the offering, given how well he can serve and how he can shorten points. So, I think that a lot of the things he does well, Medvedev also does well. And I think Medvedev would be slightly better placed to get a result. But, yeah, I think he could take it some sort of distance.
And last but not least, Ash, what catches your eye today? Obviously, the likes of Murray and Tsitsipas in action. I think Raducanu on the women's side of things, who's firm big time too on the back of that win the other day, probably because there might be a lot of love for her on and off the court, mate. But obviously did show glimpses the other day of that US Open form. She's in the 17s, Kontaveit at 15s, Halep 15s, Badosa 13s, Emily Blunt lookalike there from Udash, Muguruza 13s, Svantec 11s, as we said, Barty and Osaka lead the pack there. But men's, women's, mate, what are you looking forward to today?
Couple of good matches to watch. I think the All-American clash between Tiafo and Fritz will be interesting. Davidovic Fokina against Felix Auger Aliassim. That's a pretty good match. Fokina had a good year. Felix is, you know, threatened to break through. So I wouldn't mind seeing how that one pans out. Yannick Sinner, the Italian, who's, you know, had reasonably big raps on him, he'll play a little bit later on tonight. Andy Murray, can he back up a grueling five-setter against Taro Daniel? He's pretty strong favourite in that match. Cornet Muguruza, that'll be an interesting match to start the day session today. Kontaveit against the young Thorsen from Denmark, who's you know, a pretty good player. There's some pretty interesting ones across both sides of the draw. Has Sabalenka found some range in that win over Storm Sanders? We'll find out whether she sort of clicked a bit later on. And Kovanits against Raducanu, that will be interesting to see if Emma has clicked right into that sort of gear that saw her win the US Open quite easily. So you've obviously got to watch. There's a lot of Grand Slam winners still alive on that women's draw, and she's one of them, but seems to have the other bigger rats.
Good on you, Dash. Don't get too rowdy there at Rod Laver tonight, mate, and we'll chat tomorrow.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
Dash and Darren Parkin here on RSN 927 on the Tennis Podcast for Bang Bang in Phillip Island. Of course, Kate Willemeyer there. Middle Currumburra Hotel in Currumburra and Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East. Check out the full menu at shanklincafe.com.au. 500 Stronger Road. Go there on the way to the tennis or any time in the day, and the Arvo there as well in the morning. What better place for a coffee and brunch and lunch?
The all-new Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. Know the beauty of having a wild one with an all-new turbocharged engine. Bred to be fearless with a strikingly sculpted exterior, soft touch leather interior, and a kingdom worth of Kia boot space. Unleash the beast, explore the beauty with the redesigned Kia Sportage. For more info, visit kia.com.au.
Kia, movement that inspires.
rsn.net.au, your home of tips, news and racing views.
I feel good. I won. I could really feel that you guys have been in lockdown for 2 years. I think amazing atmosphere, and hopefully it'll stay the same, and hopefully it'll get even louder for the next few matches. I'm prepared that everybody will hate me after the match, so that's I think is quite accurate. So that's my mindset. Hopefully I'll get a lot of boos. Hopefully everybody will cheer against me, and there you go.
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding, but to be honest, I've said that the past 2 years since COVID started, I think sports needs the atmosphere, sports needs the people. And it doesn't matter whether you're for me or against me, I enjoy the atmosphere, I enjoy the noise, I enjoy being on court in front of all of you guys. I think sports... You know, spectators bring the emotions, and sports without spectators is like sports without emotions. So I think it's incredible that we're going back to normal, and it's incredible to play in front of everybody.
There you go. Quite jovial, wasn't he, Sasha Zverev, after that straight sets win against our very own John Millman at Melbourne Park yesterday. As I said to Dash before, I think there's a bit too much between them in the odds at tab.com.au. Medvedev, the favourite by a couple of dollars there over Zverev, I reckon the 450, you'd probably want to snap that up. We'll have a treat for you shortly. Aussie tennis great Wally Masur on the Bread Club with Half and Whitey on RSN 927 this morning. We're here on the tennis podcast thanks to Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East. How good is it? Have the portobello mushroom and the chili prawn scramble. Of course you have already, but if you haven't, get there now. As I said, Hawthorne East, Taronga Road on the way to the tennis. What better place to have coffee or brunch or even lunch on your way to Melbourne Park. Dan, Joe, Alex, Antonius and all the crew will look after you. Beautiful place to watch the tennis as well. Is it the Middle Currumburra Hotel in Currumburra? Fish, Elise and all the crew will look after you there. But great tab facilities, beautiful new deck out the back there. Sunday sessions, as Matty Lloyd said the other day. And, of course, lunch all day as well from midday and open from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every day there, the Middle Currumburra Hotel in Currumburra. And Paddy, Ebony, Maddie, Lani, Ziggy and all the crew will look after you at Bang Bang in Cape Woolamai down there in Phillip Island. Beautiful part of the world. And what better place to soak it all up than at Bang Bang there in Cape Woolly. bangbangphillipisland.com.au. Check it all out, the full menu and beautiful craft beers and much, much more there at Bang Bang in Cape Woolamai down the island.
The all-new rsn.net.au. Check it out today.
I wonder what the buffet is looking like at Melbourne Park. Wonder if Wally Masur has been past it, or he's bringing his own. He's an organised sort of fellow. He's one of the greats of Australian tennis, and he joins us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Wally.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
We're going well, thanks. Is the buffet in operation, or you have to pack your own food?
Oh, look, I do both.
Great result.
I don't want to miss out.
What's, can I ask you, and we're digressing a little bit, but it's a bit of fun, what's in the home pack that you take with you? What do you take from home?
Oh, the unhealthy options, the snacks. I'm doing a bit of commentary though, so you've got to kind of got to stay sugared up to keep to keep going.
That's my excuse too.
What have you made so far of the first couple of days of play?
Well, I think the Australian Open deserved a break. So we've been lucky. We've had some really good weather and uninterrupted schedule, and the crowds are limited to 50% capacity, so it's slightly different feel, but we experienced that last year. But all in all, some really good tennis. Some probably for me, just some working for Tennis Australia and performance, just a few close results that didn't go our way. That was a bit disappointing for some of the Australians, but overall, pretty good.
Yeah, so just from an Australian point of view, what stood out? I'll leave Ash to the side because she's just incredible with how she's going. What are the things that have captured your attention that from a positive point of view?
Well, from a positive point of view, I thought Alex Jimena, he showed some real signs. Late last year, he played his last match in the Davis Cup Finals. It was really solid, and then he sort of picked up where he left off when he got to the ATP Cup, played really well, and gee, he was sharp the other night. He was moving so well that he actually came out of his shoe. I've never seen that before. his foot speed was so great that his foot came right out of the shoe and he played three or four balls in his sock. That's how well he's going. But, yeah, that was impressive. Obviously, Nick is pretty enigmatic. He didn't play the first 2 weeks of the season due to asthma and then he had COVID. And then he comes out and plays the sort of tennis and puts on the sort of show that only he can put on. So that's going to be really interesting to see how he goes up against Medvedev tonight. He's just the most awkward player, I think, for any of the seeds to face in such an early round. So that's going to be a real blockbuster. And I'm sure Nick's going to provide plenty of surprises there. That was really positive, you know, in terms of our top players. We actually had some good results in the qualifying. I know we're into the main draw now, but we gave a lot of our young juniors an opportunity to play in the qualifying, and quite a few of them haven't travelled for years due to the COVID restrictions. And pros can get overseas, but it was very hard for juniors to get exemptions to play overseas, and a lot of the tournaments were cancelled. So they got a run in the qualifying, and we had a bunch of juniors win matches in the first round of qualifying. And, you know, you recognise that players in qualifying have rankings inside the world's top 250. So that was really encouraging. Madison Inglis. Won her first round against the US Open finalists. So, yeah, there's been some good things. And probably two things that disappointed me were Jordan Thompson losing in five and Alexi Poprin losing in five. They, they both train really hard. They've got great potential to do well in a slam, but, that didn't fall their way.
There was great hope for Thanasi Kokkinakis, Wally, after his win in Adelaide last week, and the story of him and having to work so hard to get back to full fitness and health and missing so much tennis through the last 5 years or so, for probably even more for Thanasi. But it was always going to be, was it always going to be challenging for him to back that, the emotion of Adelaide last week, to progress through into the second week or into the first couple of rounds of the Australian Open?
Yeah, there's the emotion, and obviously, Thanasi's injuries have been well documented. You know, he's not lost nearly 3 to 4 years through glandular fever and shoulder surgery and all sorts of problems. But I think as much as the emotional, dealing, kind of resetting to the Australian Open, I think the conditions were quite different. And I just think he just couldn't adjust within 24 hours because he literally only had one day in between winning the final on Saturday night and playing on Monday. He just needed more time on the court. He didn't get it. But the tour's a bit like that. When lightning strikes, you've just got to be in the right place at the right time. And he got a lot of points in Adelaide. He's on the cusp of 100 in the world, which gets him into all the slams. So you've got to take the wins when they arrive. And, that's a learning curve. If he's in that situation again, he'll be more knowledgeable about how to go about preparing for the next big match after a tournament victory, hopefully.
Does it feel like a normal Australian Open now? Obviously, with all the dramas in the build-up, life's still not normal, but it's a little bit more normal than it was last year when the tournament was played a little bit later. What's it like walking around in the corridors and being on court at the moment?
Well, when I've been commentating some matches and obviously going to watch some of the matches, and when you're in those outdoor courts, Margaret Court Arena, court number 3, for example, it's rocking. There's a great atmosphere. So you're not aware necessarily of the 50% crowd capacity. Where you do notice it is just walking around the ground.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's really heaving here normally at the Australian Open. But, guys, I'm approaching 60, and I like the quiet. I like it. I can find a chair. I can have a cup of tea under a gum tree. It's perfect.
Ash? Clearly the headline act from Australian tennis perspective through the next 10 days or so. She's had a pretty soft start to the tournament. Is that a positive or a bit of a concern for you, Wally?
No. I think it's Ash had a great year last year, obviously. She had some decent time off at the end of the year, which is a positive, and then she could really build up into the preseason. Goes to Adelaide, got the matches under her belt. I think it's a perfect start for Ash, to be honest. And she's such a, you know, the thing that I'm just so impressed with Ash is just how versatile she is. So one of the great problems, of course, in tennis is the different styles of opponent you can play from day to day. And that can be unsettling, but she's not a one-dimensional player. She's just got so much versatility that she can seem to sort of diffuse most of the problems. And I guess unlike some Australian players who I felt, you know, our Grand Slam winners, they could never find their very best tennis at the Australian Open. I don't think that's going to be the problem for Ash, whether this year or next in, or in the years to come. I think she's going to take this title.
It seems, Wally, that where her improvements come just from the Australian Summer of Tennis, her serve, and that seems to be the thing that has led her down in crucial moments in the past, but there seems to be an emphasis to improve it, and it certainly seems to be the way at the moment.
Well, also, too, you've got to recognise players, each year they do another pre-season, they spend, you know, more hours in the gym, they get a little bit stronger, so that will always help with your serve. But, you know, one of the things I think with Ash, I watched her play at the US Open, this is going back, oh, maybe 4 or 5 years, and she was really young, and when... To me, it was almost like an attitudinal thing. She had to recognise that she's got a good service motion, she's got good technique. She's not tall, but, you know, she's able to, you know, biomechanically and technically, she's got a really good serve. So to me, it was like an attitude. You know, when you step up and you bounce the ball, what are you trying to achieve? And obviously in the men's game, you know, they're taller and more powerful, so they really see the serve as a chance to get a free point or to set up the next big shot. And I think for Ash, it was a case of, well, you know, as a junior, you probably spin it in to start the point and then use all your other skills. But, yeah, for me, it's more like she steps up to the line now and it's very directional. She's very much using it to set up the next shot. Might very well be a big forehand or, you know, looking for an opportunity to come forward, whatever that is. So I think it's just a combination of strength, gaining strength over the years, and then, you know, just a more positive attitude when she steps up to the line.
There's a lot to look forward to for Ash and for Aussie tennis fans for the next 10 days or so for the rest of the Australian Open. Big one tonight too with Nick taking on Daniil Medvedev, number 2 seed, first up tonight on Rod Laver Arena. Looking forward to all the action. Wally, appreciate your insight. Thank you.
Good on you guys. Thank you.
Wally Masur, one of the all-time greats of Australian tennis. On and off the court, let's be honest, his contribution to the game after his playing days has been immense.
Yeah, definitely.
In broadcast, but also coaching and admin stuff. So I reckon he's a magnificent ambassador for tennis in Australia. Love talking to him.
He certainly is. That's it from me here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. For Bang Bang Cape, Woolamai, of course, the Middle Hotel in Currumburra, and Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East, 500 Taronga Road in Hawthorne East. I'm going to head there now and have the baked eggs and a coffee on the way to Melbourne Park.
You're listening to the Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney on RSN 927.
Dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty. Gonna look in every corner.